The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now, Craig Martin, chairman of Dynam Capital, the fund manager of Vietnam Holding, talks about the annual report. Craig, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure. Yeah, good to talk to you again, Justin.
Yeah, and like I said, your annual report is out, looking very good. Decent report this year. Before we get into it, Craig, as always, just for people maybe not familiar with Vietnam Holding, can you explain what it's all about, please?
Yeah, look, Vietnam Holding is a fund listed on the main board of the London Stock Exchange. Very simple purpose, which is to capture the growth of Vietnam through an actively managed, fairly concentrated portfolio of listed companies. So simple stuff. We've had a terrific year, which I can talk to in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. Do you know, looking at the results here, let's say just published your annual report, a nice gain of 99% for the year. And, remind us again, Craig, of the key drivers of that return, pal.
Yeah, so 99 not out. So a great increase in our net asset value per share last year. And that's driven by the big gains across our portfolio. We're a very nimble investor, and so we identify, you know, where we see the growth pockets emerging. And we had a great run with the banking sector. We made some good stock picks there, and you know, they doubled in value. Building materials and technology infrastructure. So record year for the company. Share price has also done really well. It hit a recent record high of about £3 a share recently. It's not far off there now, and the discount's narrowed a bit. So, simple story, picking good stocks, good portfolio, actively managed. You know, we look at it and breathe it minute by minute. I'm really focused on and delivering value for the shareholders. And so far, so good. The year that ended 30th of June that we just reported, as I say, a record. Mm-hmm. And Vietnam Holding's been a top-performing fund, so that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you published a report on the rise of the retail investor in Vietnam and compare the prospects of that to Taiwan. Explain that, if you could, Craig.
Yeah, well, firstly, just a little bit of history. So first time I went to Vietnam 28 years ago, I was just looking at this today. I wrote down in my diary, you know, Vietnam could be Taiwan in the future. But I base that through the lens of kind of what Vietnam was manufacturing and doing then, which was kind of exporting silks and goods and starting garments and this kind of thing, which have been fantastic for Vietnam, the largest garment, second largest garment manufacturer in the world. But Vietnam's also become a more tech savvy and technology driven country, partly by having lots of investment from places like Taiwan. And we did this survey around the rise of the domestic retail investor. So these are investors who have been tech-enabled. They've got these trading apps. They can do their eKYC. And they're starting to get their feet wet in the stock market. And so we commissioned a survey to look at who they are and what they're doing and why they're trading. And about a third of them have more than half their portfolio in stocks. Some of them have got some portfolio in cryptos as well. But they're looking at, you know, good return prospects for their stock portfolio. And there's about a million new accounts have been opened. So I'd say about 4 million accounts totally, 100,000 accounts being opened per month. And the connection to Taiwan is that level of penetration, 3-4% of the population, is where Taiwan was in, I think, 1986. And Taiwan then has had, you know, multi-decades of growth in its capital markets. So the signs are good for Vietnam, as it was, you know, 30 years ago when I thought, you know, maybe Vietnam will emulate Taiwan in terms of manufacturing and export. Yes, done that. Maybe it will emulate the growth of the capital markets, which today is huge already, you know, $300 billion market capitalization. That's not shabby. That's in Vietnam. $1.5 billion traded a day. And that's come a long way. So I think the prospects for the development of the capital markets are good. And the retail investors that we surveyed in our little study, I think, are, you know, a litmus test on that. And we'll keep tracking them, you know, every 3-6 months to see, you know, how trends and attitudes change.
Yeah. Let's talk about COVID and the Delta variant. I know it's hit the entire world, maybe second or third wave, lost count now. But, you know, the COVID Delta wave hit sort of Vietnam. How are you faring at the moment with that?
Well, look, I think, you know, history will show that no one got COVID right. Vietnam did fantastically well last year, perhaps when, you know, places like the UK struggled, right? And then the UK's done a brilliant job this year with its vaccination rollout, whereas Asia and Vietnam have struggled in terms of securing vaccine and getting people jabbed. And also then having to go into periods of painful kind of lockdown, which Vietnam's done for the last couple of months. But vaccination rollouts are coming. There's about 1 million jabs a day getting into the arms of the Vietnamese people. And today, Ho Chi Minh City, the second largest city, has just opened up after a period of lockdown. So everyone's out running, exercising the dogs, going for walks in the park, and probably going out and eating and celebrating where they can. So that cautious reopening, I think, is good. Hanoi, the capital, opened up earlier this week. But that's not to belittle the impact. I think it's certainly taken the wind out of the sails in perhaps the Q3 earnings for some of the companies, and Q4 may be weak. But that's in the context of a tremendous run in the first half of the year. You know, equities up 40-50%. So a little bit of a kind of pause for breath as people get the vaccinations done, start to live with COVID rather than trying to eradicate COVID. I think people in Asia and Vietnam are realizing that you can't eradicate it. Yeah. You've got to find a way to live with it. And you've got to find a way to kind of open up different parts of the economy. So this year, you know, Vietnam's growth may only be 4%, which is not shabby. It was 3% last year. It was the highest growth economy in the world last year. So on back of that growth, maybe 4% this year. And then, you know, the hope and expectation is that by next year we'll be back on this kind of 6-7% growth rate. So sooner people get vaccinated, the sooner things get back to that normality. So we've got every prospect that Vietnam will get through this, as it's done through all the challenges over the last 40-50 years. And again, by being nimble on the ground, we can try and identify, you know, the stocks that will benefit the most from that, and perhaps try and avoid some that are going to get a little bit squeezed during this challenging period.
Yeah. It's funny how you say maybe just 3-4%. I'm just imagining the ruling parties over here would be champions of the economy if they achieved anywhere near that. Let's let's look at longer term, the prospects there. What are the trends you see emerging, Craig?
Well, it's interesting. I happen to be in Europe to present at the board meeting ahead of the annual report that was released this morning. And I'm wandering around Berlin, and I'm looking at, you know, the history here in this amazing city, and obviously dark history as well as a history of reconstruction. And I was reminded that it's the level of urbanization in Germany and other parts of Europe after the Second World War were about 40%. Vietnam's urbanization rate is that today, 40%. So with a push in terms of domestic infrastructure and that multiplier effect, it's got multi-generational kind of prospects and growth ahead of it. So it's just a reminder that Vietnam's come an awful long way, but there's so much more that can happen and emerge as infrastructure gets put into place. Yes, there'll be delays. There are everywhere. I think Berlin Airport was delayed for many years. Crossrail in London still delayed, my daughter tells me. And you know, in Boston, they were delayed in their infrastructure for decades. So Vietnam, a little bit of delay. COVID hasn't helped, certainly. But as that public infrastructure gets expanded, multiplier effect on the domestic consumption, the economy, Vietnam's definitely a place you want to have some exposure to.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Craig, as always, if you could, on the front page of Vox, of course, there are 10 companies that are most followed. That changes on a minute-by-minute basis, depending on how many people hit your follow button. So to get on that list, and you've featured on there quite a few times, give us three quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button and add Vietnam Holding to their watch list, please.
First reason, it's a top-performing fund. Second reason, the shares can be bought an attractive discount of 15% to the net asset value. And the third reason is Vietnam. It's delivered greater returns over the last 5 years than either China or India. So when you think about growth and the growth in Asia, then definitely give Vietnam a look.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Craig, it's good to chat to you. And, definitely an excellent annual report there. And hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to it.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.